Stand Up for the Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate.
This is Stand Up for the Truth, a packed hour of challenging discussion addressing important issues and topics affecting Christians across the nation. Join the conversation via email at comments@standupforthetruth.com. Now, David Fiorazzo.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, and anyone who's listening, we thank you for tuning in to this edition of Stand Up for the Truth. We are going to be discussing religious freedom and talking about our faith in public. Gasp. First, let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for a new day. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness. You are always working in our lives. You're always working in the realm of the Spirit, whether we see it materializing or not. We know, God, who is sovereign and who is in control. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit and that anchor that we have, the hope in Christ that is an anchor to our soul. We thank you, Jesus, that you became flesh and dwelt among us. And we thank you that you are our perfect example of the balance of grace and truth. We praise you for this opportunity to talk about an important issue and important people in our government, Lord, that we don't know a lot about. But we thank you, Jesus, for moving on men's hearts. And we ask that you would continue to share or spread the gospel in our government, Lord. We pray for every Bible study that takes place in Washington, D.C. and around the country at state capitals. And we know they happen. We just don't hear much about them. And we ask, Lord, that you would send more true Bible-believing Christians into politics, into government, as hard as a field as that is. We need more light, not only in Washington, but in our country. So help us be the salt and light of Christ today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a ridiculous rule of etiquette that some people naively believe and live by. Ready? We should never discuss religion and politics in public. Well, those are two of the most important issues we could talk about. Many of these same people probably think the idea of separation of church and state is somewhere in the U.S. Constitution, but they are flat out wrong. This verbal battering ram is used by the left in an attempt to silence Christians in particular. And if they can't do that, they will hurl baseless accusations of hate and intolerance at us instead. Vice President Mike Pence sure can relate. We'll get into that in a minute. Freedom of speech has been under attack for decades as overzealous liberals and angry atheists are trying to make their mark on the land of the free. Secularism, as we know, is on the rise, as well as the mocking of Christians, which is slowly becoming accepted more and more in public, from Hollywood and the media, to government and public education, to the ACLU and the Intolerant Freedom From Religion Foundation. Christians are being forced into silence and told that their deeply held beliefs and biblical values are no longer appropriate and welcome in America. Well, we can thank God for the representatives in Washington who are true believers in the sense that they not only talk about their faith, but they walk the walk in their daily lives. Today's guest, we're excited to have on Leslie Montgomery, author and ghostwriter of over a dozen books, including Were It Not for Grace, The Faith of Condoleezza Rice, A Parent's Guide to Spiritual Warfare, also Engaging the Enemy, The Christian Woman's Guide to Spiritual Warfare. She's been a writer for Focus on the Family for over 18 years and is the former director of publications for the American Association of Christian Counselors. Leslie is also the founder of Yeshua Ministries and the mother of four, grandmother of six. She resides in Boise, Idaho. Leslie, thank you so much for being on Stand Up for the Truth today.
Oh, thank you, David. I've been so excited about coming on.
Well, we're excited to get into this story. And, you know, several books have been published about the vice president, but none have touched upon, to us, one of the most important things that makes a man tick, and that is his faith. And so you've written a book called The Faith of Mike Pence, and that's what we're going to ask you about today. It's an intimate look into the man who calls himself a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order. And you detail his spiritual journey and examine how he came to be the man that he is today and how the key component in his life as a husband and a father and a public servant is his faith in Christ. Before we get into the book, Leslie, we talked on the air a little bit earlier, and you've been going through some health battles, and you were on a tour, a book tour, I believe, doing interviews for the book, The Faith of Mike Pence. Please just share with us what's been happening so we can pray for you specifically about your health.
Oh, thank you. I've been in ministry for almost 27 years, and like you mentioned, I've written a lot of books. And, you know, when you're out there on the front lines, spiritual warfare is part of the game, and Satan often attacks your health, and that's exactly what has happened. This book came out August 6th, and about 2 months ago, while in Indiana, which is where Mike Pence was born and raised, I was on a trip and began feeling ill. I came home, was feeling, it was my lower stomach and upper stomach, and after a bunch of tests and a lot of pain, emergency room visits, found out I had problems not just with my bladder, but with my gallbladder, and have had surgery since that time, and two other surgeries pending, and it's just been endless. Wow. And so I know I'm in God's hands, and I know I'm actually, they have me on a new medication, the pain has subsided, I'm doing much better than I was. I at one point couldn't get out of bed, so God is working through the hands of my physicians, and Lord willing, we'll get through the next 30 days and be back on tour and promoting this book, because this is promoting the gospel.
Yes,
it really is. You cannot read the story of Mike Pence without facing the truth of the gospel.
Yes, and we agree with you, Leslie, in Jesus' name, that God will heal you, strengthen your physical body, and give you the energy and the health to go and continue this tour, because it's not, as you said, and I'm thankful you put it that way, and I know I want to get into your background a little bit. It's not just about selling books. It is about talking about our faith in the Lord Jesus and reaching people for him. Let's go back a little bit to when you grew up and how did you become a Christian, and it just sounds like you've got such a good foundation from what I've read about you.
Well, you know, I guess I am the poster child of sin. I mean, I grew up in a very abusive home in just about every imaginable way you can imagine, all kinds of abuse. I left home when I was 16, led a very rebellious life. You name it, I probably did it. Really felt lost, was sitting in a jail cell when I was 21, wondering what I was going to do with the rest of my life. I'd quit school in 10th grade. My mother and dad had been divorced in a couple of different times from different people, and my mom had met a retired colonel from West Point who his entire job was to mentor young West Point cadets and to help them get into West Point. I was, of course, not a West Point cadet, but he really believed I had been dealt a bad hand in life. He was not a Christian, but he thought I was smart, and if I had given the chance, I could make something of my life. And so he started investing in me while I was in jail and loving me and nurturing me. And when I got out of jail, he did that. I graduated high school. He paid for my college. Wow. He loved me like the father I did not have. 4 years later, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And the first promise God gave me was that he was going to restore the years eaten away by the locusts.
Amen.
And he has done that in my life. And I have gone from one end of the spectrum in my life to the other. And there is not one area of my life that God has not redeemed. I am the poster child of sin, but I am also the poster child of the power of God who can redeem a life, who is holy, committed to him.
Wow. Praise God for your testimony, Leslie. Now, let's skip ahead a little bit. I was watching an interview you did with Eric Metaxas, and he mentioned that you knew Chuck Colson. And as I mentioned earlier, you work with Focus on the Family. How did those relationships come about? And just give a little bit of your story as a backdrop into how those came to be and how that impacted your life.
You know, I really believe that when you fully give your heart to the Lord, God will use you. You know, Romans 8:28, God will use, you know, your past, your mistakes for his glory. And he's done that. I was asked, Billy Graham and Chuck Colson started a ministry called Operation Starting Light, and they would go into the prison systems where they would have people share the gospels, and there was five steps to sharing the gospel. And my job in that was to share about sin. And I jokingly say, because I was really good about it with it. You know, so everybody would have a part. They'd have artists come in, really, you know, well-known artists come in and share different aspects. And I would get up and I'd share my testimony about sin. And so that's how I started working with Chuck Colson. And I also started, I wrote quite a bit for his ministry. And I was at the same time writing extensively for Focus on the Family, just about every ministry under their umbrella, from their elder ministry to women's ministry to their teen ministry. God opened the door for me to do some work with Billy Graham, who just so happened I would eventually marry a man, my husband, Dallas, who works for Billy Graham and has worked for him for almost two decades now. And God just has opened those doors for me and knitted my life together. And so when I was on Eric Metaxas' show promoting The Faith of Mike Pence, he knew Chuck Colson, and we started talking about Chuck Colson, what a wonderful man of God he was, and how he too had been in jail and how God had redeemed his life. And God can do that in anybody's life, you know, if you are willing to commit your life to him.
Amen. We're talking with author Leslie Montgomery. The book is called The Faith of Mike Pence. First, Leslie, before we jump into the question specifically about the book, tell us about Yeshua Ministries.
Yeshua Ministries, it's interesting because Yeshua means to save or deliver from a tightly confined place, which is the name of God. And weeks after I got saved, the Lord gave me that name, Yeshua. And I kept going to people saying, Yeshua, Yeshua, what does that mean? And nobody could tell me. And finally, I found a book about a month later, and in it, I found the name Yeshua. And I said, that is my ministry. That's the name God gave me to help people. That's my ministry, is to help people find freedom in Christ. And that is the name of my ministry, because that is my goal in all my writing and all the speaking engagements I do, is God has called me to help people find freedom in Christ through sharing my testimony, through sharing the gospel, through, you know, writing, speaking, teaching. And that has been the name of my ministry since.
Well, praise God. Praise God for that. And we will have a link to your website and in today's podcast post. Let's get right into the book. First of all, I heard you interviewed 60 people for this, and it took a couple years. What was your original plan, and how did you get a hold of all these people who either knew Mike Pence or worked with him, or did you interview family members?
Well, I have to give you a little bit of background about the story. First of all, you know, after I finished writing The Faith of Condoleezza Rice, I was approached to write another faith-based biography about another political figure. And I was given total access to this individual's life, family, friends, colleagues, everything. And I dove into the book. I got 2 months into the project, had interviewed quite a few people. I had to go back to the publisher and say, look, if you want a faith-based biography about this person, I'm not the person to write it. There just isn't anything here for me to write. And so I am very leery, in particular, about writing about politicians and their faith. Okay.
Right.
And so, in the summer of 2016, my kids were getting ready to go back to school. I have two kids who are now 9 and 11, and they were getting ready to go back to school. And I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I think it's time to jump back into a new book. What would you have me write? And I actually had a dream 2 weeks later, and he said, the faith of Mike Pence. I knew nothing about Mike
wow.
Pence except that he was our vice president. And I honestly, my response was, you've got to be kidding me, Lord, another politician. And but I got up in the middle of the night and I started doing some research on the internet. And from the quotes that I could find that he had said, from some of the interviews I saw that his friends and people had participated in, I could see that there was some faith. And so I put in a request to the White House to interview him, his family, and I didn't know initially that that was denied. And I just began to do research and put a list of people together as I did my research of people I'd like to interview. And I began making calls and doing research. And I, as an author, even though I've had numerous books published, I've ghostwritten several books, the worst part about writing a book is getting a book deal, even if you've been published before. You still have to court publishers. You still have to convince them that the book is worthy to be published. And I contacted my publisher who published The Faith of Condoleezza Rice. They said, no, we really don't want to do a political book, but thanks. And I just went to the Lord and I said, Lord, look, if this book is of you, you bring a publisher to me. The next day.
Oh, no, really?
I received an email from Christine Whitaker at Whitaker House. I have never worked with them before, ever. And she wrote me an email and she said, listen, do you have any nonfiction book proposals you'd like me to consider?
Oh, my goodness.
I've never communicated with this woman. I've never worked with her before. I sent over a proposal on the faith of Mike Pence. She got back to me a couple of days later and said, we'll do it.
Wow.
So I knew God was in control. So I knew that God's hand was on this. So I began. I still didn't have any access to, you know, I had a few people who had agreed to interview, started putting together a list. And, but a lot of people, like his friends, were saying no because they had been so burned, you know, by other people, you know, the media who would do interviews and twist their words
yes.
or make it sound negative. And you see that when you do deep research, you can see the whole interview in context and then see where their words have been twisted in other interviews. It's
yeah.
despicable. It's not journalism.
Right.
It's slander. It's horrible. And I didn't know my request at the White House had been turned down, but one day, a couple of months into it, I just believed in faith. I had my prayer team praying that if God had really asked me to write this book, he would open the doors for me, for this book to, you know, for me to interview the necessary people. And one day I was driving down the road and I received a phone call from a man named Jay Steger, and Jay Steger is the best friend of the vice president. And he said, we don't know each other, but the vice president asked me to call you. He had originally said he did not want his friends to participate in this book, but God has changed his heart.
Wow.
And I'm supposed to connect our inner circle of friends with you.
Praise
so
God.
So that's what Jay did. But I want to say that even though I interviewed almost 60 people for this book, they weren't all friends of Mike Pence. They weren't all family members. I interviewed people on both sides of the aisle. I interviewed people who were LGBT and pro abortion advocates. I did not want this book to be a puff piece. I wanted to talk to everybody because I wanted to write the truth. But I'll tell you this, every single person I interviewed, every single one of them said the exact same thing about Mike Pence. He's a man of God. He's a man of integrity. And he's a man that you can trust. Every single one of them, despite having different political views, despite having different morals, despite having different religious views, they all said the same thing. I mean, how many of us can say that I can randomly pick 60 people from your life?
Yes.
That have different views than you do, but they'll all say the same thing. That is phenomenal.
I was just thinking about that. It was that very thing. I'm going, boy, I wonder how many people would say that about me, and then I maybe don't want to know. But praise God for that consistency in Mike Pence's life. We've got to take a break. We are on the line with author Leslie Montgomery. The book is called The Faith of Mike Pence. When we come back, we're going to ask Leslie what stood out to her or surprised her in what she learned about the vice president.
Your monthly financial support of StandUpForTheTruth.com is needed and appreciated. Now, back to today's Stand Up For The Truth with David Fiorazzo.
We are speaking with author Leslie Montgomery. The book is called The Faith of Mike Pence. The foreword is by Governor Mike Huckabee. And Leslie, you didn't know a lot about the vice president before you wrote the book. And one thing that I think a lot of us would love to know, what either stood out to you or surprised you about Mike Pence?
You know, there were several things that really stood out about Mike Pence to me. And one of them was that, you know, even as a child, he was always a servant-minded. You know, it wasn't just part of his, he was raised Roman Catholic. It wasn't just part of, you know, his upbringing. It was just part of his heart. His teacher said that he would go out of his way to make sure other students felt welcome at school. If they needed help in school, he would go out of his way to help them be tutored or help them understand. When he was in high school, there were two boys that had muscular dystrophy, and he would get up every morning and go over and help them get dressed for school. He was always looking for ways to serve people. He would, you know, at the time he was raised in a home that was Democrat, so he would go out and serve in the community, you know. And so he was always had a real tender heart and always looking for ways to serve. He was always just had a heart to love people. And even when he became a congressman in Indiana, his staff, I interviewed some of his staff, they said, you know, he was the one who was in line handing out the plates. He was the one that was on his hands and knees tying the shoes of little kids. If somebody in his, one of his constituents had an accident or a tragedy, he wanted to go to their house and pray with them. He wanted to make sure that everybody in, you know, knew that they were loved and cared for. You know, it wasn't just, okay, you voted me in, I'm here to make sure that I'm running your county. He really made it personal, and he cared for his people. And we don't see much of that today, because as the vice president, he's behind the scenes doing work. But at the core of who he is, all of that is part of his faith. And every decision he makes is based on who he is in Christ. And, you know, he always wanted to be a priest growing up. That was, he struggled with, should I go into law? Should I be a priest? But when he made a profession of faith to be a born-again Christian his freshman year at college, at Hanover College, his friends say it wasn't just a decision. It was a leap of faith. He dove in. He started studying the Bible voraciously. He started having Bible studies at his house. prayer became something that he did hours a day. He, you know, he began mentoring men from the beginning. He surrounded himself with other men in his life so that he had accountability groups. To this day, that has continued. He has men in his life since the time he got saved to this very day. He's had accountability groups in his life.
And that's exciting for us to hear, because now he's got the ear of the president. And you said a minute ago he generally works behind the scenes. Now, for those of us, you think the vice president of the United States is a very public position. But in light of the big personality that President Trump has, Mike Pence does work behind the scenes. And we want to believe that he is maybe trying to hold the president accountable and influence him with some Christian principles. What do you know about that aspect of his work, Leslie?
Well, I don't, from what I know, from everybody I've interviewed, you cannot be around Mike Pence and not be directly affected by him. So I don't think that there's any way that President Trump is not being influenced by the vice president. Mm. It's just impossible.
Praise God.
We also know that the president is his own man, right?
Right.
He's got a very big personality. He's going to say and do whatever he wants to do, right? That's just who he is. But we know that that the vice president is going to influence him and anybody else around him. It's interesting to me that all the ins and outs that have come with the White House, there hasn't been people bad-mouthing the vice president. We don't hear that.
Interesting. We're going to get back to one of the few political questions I'm going to ask, going back to when Mike Pence was governor of Indiana. But before we get there, most of us didn't know or still don't know a lot about Mike Pence's personal life. And you referred to this book in many different ways. I've heard different interviews and read some things about the book and about your summation of it or summary of it. But one thing you mentioned is that it's a comeback story. Would you please explain that?
It really is a comeback story. I love that about the book. You know, Mike Pence, he became a believer his freshman year at Hanover College. And his first and second congressional runs, he really ran on pride and on his own effort, especially during his second run. What he ended up doing was he listened to Washington insiders who told him to go negative and to go after his opponent hard. And so, matter of fact, his best friend, who I mentioned earlier, Jay Steger, was on his campaign, and he said, "Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go. Don't listen to them. You know, go the way the Lord is telling you to go. You know, your wholesome image. The people relate to you because you're personable. You know." And Mike said, "No, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to listen to the Washington insiders." And so his friend stepped down off the campaign. And Mike threw caution to the wind, and he went directly the way of the Washington insiders. And to this day, that campaign is known as Indiana's nastiest campaign in history.
Wow.
And Mike Pence lost that. It wasn't even a close race. It was horrible. He lost that race. And it wasn't the ego of "I lost." I mean, the Spirit of God just came down on him and convicted him. And his friends and family said, "Man, this was not a 1 day, 2 week, 1 month, 2 month conviction. This was him wrestling with God like Jacob for months, where God was saying, questioning him, saying, 'What kind of man have I called you to be? You know, what kind of legacy are you going to leave behind? You know, who are you going to live for, yourself, or are you going to live for me?'" And Mike Pence really wrestled with those things. And finally, he came to this place where he said, "You know what? I'm going to be sold out for God. I'm going to be God's man. I'm going to leave a legacy of Christ. I'm going to leave a legacy. I want to be a man after God's own heart, and as a husband, as a politician, in every area of my life. And he went on to be the first president of the policy review, and he ended up writing what's called what he ended up calling Confessions of a Negative Campaigner, and it went national because of its vulnerability and its honesty. And he not this is what I love. This is my favorite story in the book. People are going, "You're crazy," but this is why he not only wrote that essay and put it national. He took that essay and he framed it and he put it on his wall. He made numerous copies of it. And over the years, as he mentored, which he has mentored hundreds of young men, as he's mentored them, he's given them copies. As politicians have come to him for advice, he's given them copies. And he's told them, don't go negative. This is the time in your life you make a decision that God is number one. Mm-hmm. This is the time of your life that you make the decision that he goes first before everything. And he references that continually. It's still hanging on his wall. He references it. That is the time. That is the day. That is the moment I decided that God comes first before everything.
Mm.
And so that's why that's my favorite story in the book, because what we do as Christians is we sin and we want to brush it under the rug. And Mike Pence took his sin and he put it on the wall.
Wow.
So that everybody else could learn from it.
That's an amazing story, Leslie. Confessions of a Negative Campaigner. Is that available online somewhere?
Yes, it is.
Where?
You can look it up online. Just do a search.
Okay, yeah. We will. And I'll put a link to that in today's podcast post. A lot of people know that Vice President Pence follows what we understand as the Billy Graham rule when he's away from home or traveling or out in public or anywhere away from his home, away from his wife. Some people even refer to it now as the Mike Pence rule, but what is it, Leslie Montgomery? What is that rule, and why did he take so much flack from the left for abiding by something we look at as wow, such a good thing?
Well, the Billy Graham rule is what it's really called, and Billy Graham actually put it in place when he started out his crusades. You know, several of the men who were traveling with him were watching other evangelists fall, and they got together and they said, what are the main things that they're falling over? Money, sexual temptation, and there were a couple of others. And so they set safeguards in place. And one of those safeguards were, we will not be alone with women, And so Mike Pence, among other men, I mean, this has been going on for decades, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Other men, have decided, I'm going to put that in place as well. And Mike Pence has put that in place. He doesn't say he won't eat with a woman if there's another man there or another woman there. He's just not going to eat alone with a woman, right? I've got to say, Mike and Karen Pence have been married over 35 years, which is more than 2/3 of Americans. So I think they're doing something right, And but he's gotten so much flack about it because he's protecting his marriage. And so a lot of people have said, well, he's being prejudiced, or he's women don't have the same rights that, he's not giving them the same equal rights in the workplace.
Oh my goodness.
And it's none of that. It's not about any of that. The women I interviewed that have worked with him, including his lieutenant governor, Sue Alsterman, who worked with him in Indiana, she said it was a non-issue. It was never, she says, I'm a feminist. And if it was an issue, I'd have brought it to the table. It was never an issue.
Wow. And then, as we know, over the last several years, the Me Too movement blew up. And now they're going,
right. Oh,
okay, so maybe that's not such a bad thing that Mike Pence tried to protect his marriage and didn't want to get in a position where he'd be tempted with other women or anything. You mentioned.
But think about that.
Oh, go ahead.
As a wife, wouldn't you want your husband to protect your marriage?
Yes.
I mean, what wife wants her husband eating alone with other women all the time? I mean,
I know, it makes sense. And I wanted to ask you about Karen Pence, because I know we understand she had quite a bit of influence, and she also obviously is a great support for Vice President Pence. Would you like to share a little bit about her in this story as well?
You know, one of the things, I'll tell you, the main word people have said repeatedly as I interviewed them and asked them about her, and the word was rock. Mm. She is his rock. And there is no Mike Pence without Jesus Christ, and there is no Mike Pence without Karen Pence. And, you know, you hear all this, you know, media chatter about her controlling him and about her, you know, telling him what to do and her being mother and all this. Do you know what? From the beginning of their marriage, his friend said that he knew the type of woman that he wanted to marry. He had a maturity and a wisdom about the kind of woman he wanted to marry that most men don't have as a young man. And he wanted someone who was mature enough, who was going to come on board and be a partner with him, that he could be a partner with in every area. And that is exactly the kind of marriage that they have. There was no, hey, you stay home and you take care of the kids and I'm going to go off and do my own thing. I mean, she has been a part of every decision he has made. He's been a part of every decision she has made. They've been a team. When he was doing commercials to be a congressman, Rex Elsass, who was his media strategist, said she was a part of putting the commercials together. He relied on her input. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? It wasn't like she was over there saying, do this, do that. No, he wanted her advice. He gave her his schedule. He said, Karen, you know, I want you to look at my schedule. If you think I'm gone too much away from home, I want you to change the schedule because I don't want to be away from the family too much. He gave her that authority because he wanted them to work together as a team, as a family, as a marriage, to protect their home, to raise their children together.
Wow. I like how you put that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Christ is his rock, but, you know, Karen is also one of the rocks in his life, providing that stability. His speechwriter said that Mike Pence would always encourage me, among other staff, to weave into whatever we were putting together for him regarding speeches, bits and pieces from Scripture wherever possible. And Mike Pence was talking about the opportunity he had to proclaim Christ once. He told his colleagues, "I believe that God created the known universe, the earth, and everything in it, including man. And I also believe that someday scientists will come to see that the only theory of intelligent design provides even a remotely rational explanation for the known universe." That's on page 142 of this book, The Faith of Mike Pence. When we come back, we're going to talk about something that blew up in Indiana, and that's how I first learned about Mike Pence, and many of us started praying for him. We're on the line with author Leslie Montgomery on Stand Up for the Truth.
Stand Up for the Truth is on Facebook and Twitter. Like and follow us at Stand Up WI, and share today's show via the links at thestandupforthetruth.com/podcast.
And the book is called The Faith of Mike Pence, and it is not a political book. I want to emphasize that. It's about the faith that makes this man tick, and we can be thankful for men like that in government. Leslie Montgomery is the author, and she's in Boise, Idaho, on the line with us today. Leslie, let's go back to the spring of 2015. Mike was reviewing, as governor of Indiana, an Indiana Senate Bill 101 entitled the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which had been on the state lawmakers' table for years, and it would amend, at that time, Indiana's constitution so that individuals and businesses could assert as a defense in legal proceedings that their exercise of religion has been or is likely to be substantially burdened. The state House of Representatives approved it by a vote of 40-10. Well, when it came across his desk March 26th that year, Mike decided to sign it into law. And jumping forward a little bit, when a photo of that signing ceremony was posted on social media, it quickly went viral And as we remember, just 4 years ago, that caused an uproar, almost 5 years ago now, mm-hmm. among gay mm-hmm. rights groups and activists and the left, who said the law discriminates against or hurts LGBT community. And that's not the case at all. A lot of misinformation was put out there. And the big LGBTQ lobby just came out and hammered Mike Pence. Would you like to share a little bit about what he went through during that time and how that maybe forced him more into the public eye than he was even willing to be at that time?
Right. Well, let's back up a little bit. You know, before that, Bill Clinton had signed it into law.
Yes.
You know, and then there had been in other states it had been signed into law. And, you know, so it comes across Mike Pence's desk. It has absolutely nothing to do with the LGBT community. For Mike Pence, it's about religion. It's a religious, you know, law. And so, yeah, he signs it. That's what, you know, I'm talking. I interviewed Sue Elsterman, who was lieutenant governor. She said he would have never, she said, that's not who Mike Pence is. He would have never signed anything that was divisive or, you know, would have ever been discriminatory towards the LGBT community. She said, we signed it into effect. She said the reason it blew up was because it was NCAA, all right, weekend. And she said they were down. It was quiet. Nothing was going on. All these reporters were in town. It went viral on, you know, on social media, and they pounced on it. And because there was nothing else going on social media, that's why it went viral. And so they did. The LGBT community called an ace card on it, made a big deal out of it. The more Mike Pence tried to explain that it wasn't about the LGBT community, the more the LGBT community said that it was. Yep. And there was nothing he could say or do to say otherwise.
Yeah, they had their minds made up.
They did, and they got over a billion tweets in 30 days.
Wow.
Over a billion tweets in 30 days. Now, you know, you have to understand that there is absolutely nothing in Mike Pence's past before that. There's nothing in Mike Pence's future after that. Okay,
mm-hmm.
that shows any discriminatory behavior towards the LGBT community. And yet they take that one moment and say that he was being discriminatory towards the LGBT community. I interviewed leaders from the LGBT community for this book about that specific incident. And even they, the ones I interviewed, said, that was not about the LGBT community. That the reason it was made an LGBT community issue was for media purposes, so that they could get, you know, and attention on the topic, right?
Yes, and when this happens, so, we recognize the spiritual warfare behind that, because when something like that, there is such hostile opposition. And and they create things that you didn't even do or that you're not even guilty of. We as Christians need to be prepared and be ready to respond to that if and when that might happen to some of us. And Leslie, you know, let me just ask you personally, have you taken some hits in that respect for people don't even know what the book's about, but because it's about Mike Pence and what they've been told he's for, and because he's in the Trump, you know, administration, have you taken hits on that level that you go, man, that's just not even true?
Absolutely. And, you know, and people, even by Christians, people say things just flippantly without having knowledge. You know, you, first of all, you can't trust what the media says about Mike Pence, because the media has an agenda. You have, if you're not willing to do the research and find out for yourself, then you need to go to a source that is telling you the truth. you know, and my goal with this book was to do exactly that, to tell you the truth. I did not shy away from talking about RFRA, which is the Religious Restoration Act, which we're talking about right now. Mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, shy away from talking about some of the other tough issues that Mike and Karen Pence went through in life. You know, you need to go to where there's a source telling you the truth. But I had Christians saying, well, if he's a Christian, why would he work with Trump?
Right.
Well, you know, okay, let's talk about that. If we're going to hold him to that standard, let's hold all of us to that standard.
Yes, in our jobs. Yeah.
Yeah. So are any of us working for someone who's been divorced before, anybody who's had an affair before, anybody who's ever gambled before, anybody who's ever lied before? Well, then I think all of us need to go look for a new job.
Right.
You know, I mean, anything we're going to hold somebody else to, we have to be willing to hold ourselves to. But we also have to take into consideration that we do not know what God has called Mike Pence to do.
So
why he's called him to be where he is.
Right. We don't. And we just pray he is impacting lives there for Christ in the White House. Now, fast forward 3 years, which would be from the upheaval over the Religious Freedom Restoration Act in Indiana to when he's now Vice President of the United States, February 2018. And he's been Vice President for 2 years, or at least elected in 2016. Mm-hmm. He's now about to take on a whole nother battle, and that is an attack mm-hmm. on his Christian faith that was really awful. And it was, you know, based on this reality TV show participant who came on The View and said, as bad as y'all think Trump is, you would be worried about Pence. In other words, if something happened to Trump,
right.
Pence is even a bigger problem. Why is that? And they're thinking he's extreme. Right. He loves Jesus. And he thinks Jesus tells him to say things. And it was Joy Behar on The View. And of course, Trump is referring to prayer, praying to the Lord and Jesus speaking to him through his word. Or Jesus does speak to us as believers. We have a personal relationship
That's
with
right.
him. So Joy Behar responded, it's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you. That's called mental illness. He says, if I'm not correct, it's hearing voices. So Mike Pence responded and said, I actually heard that ABC has a program that compared my Christianity to mental illness, and I'd like to laugh about it, but I really can't. Like tens
That's right.
of millions of Americans today who will have, and he goes on to explain that so many people have different faiths, but particularly his Christian faith. Would you like to talk about that? And when you learned about that, where were you at in writing the book and doing the research, and how did that episode affect you as you were writing into the, and hearing writing about this man, learning about his integrity, his Christian faith, and his authenticity, his accountability, and then you hear them bash his faith as mental illness?
Well, it's interesting because during that time, Joy Behar had said, "I'm a Christian," you know, and you know, it's interesting because you know, 50, 60 years ago, if you said you were a Christian, we knew pretty much that you were a God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian. Today, if you say you're a Christian, that could mean anything, okay?
Right.
Like, that could mean you worship rocks, you know?
You've got to define it. You do.
Yeah, it doesn't mean the same thing that it meant 60 years ago. Hmm. And so, so when she said she had freaked out because he heard Jesus, prayed, he heard Jesus's voice. You know, for us, those of us who go to church, those of us who believe the Bible to be true, we know that Jesus talks to us. That's the Holy Spirit, you know, speaking
right.
through, you know, speaking to us. It's God speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. You know, it is just shocking to me every single day, actually, not just with The View and those parts of sin. It's shocking to me every day to hear comments on TV
yes.
that people make about Christianity, about the Bible, about the vice president, about other believers who are walking in Christ and the beliefs, because it just shows me how far away we have gone from the truth of the gospel.
Yes, and where do they come from? Satan is the father of lies.
Of lies.
And
absolutely,
this is a spiritual battle. That is spiritual warfare. The enemy is trying to lie. And the things that you're right, the things I hear said about either Christians or the Bible or Jesus himself, and I'm thinking, wow, if these people only knew. I know you're about to write another book. Are you in the process? I hear that you're considering writing about Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Is that correct?
You know, I have been. when you write a book, you get a lot of offers to write a lot of different books. And I initially was writing Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and then I'm like, where's God taking me? So right now I'm kind of praying, just saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Sarah is coming out with a book. She did agree to participate with me on a book. And, but yeah, so I'm just praying.
Well, you also have something you're working on, you hope to get going, and that is the Truth and Grace program. We've got about a minute left, yes. Leslie. Could you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Truth and Grace is going to be a program we're doing on the internet, on YouTube. It's a program where we're going to be talking about hard issues that the church doesn't want to talk about. Most of the things they want to sweep under the rug, domestic violence in the church, pastoral burnout, issues like the lot, losing the, a child. I'm going to be interviewing people who have gone through these issues and talking about what are some steps that we can start working on and talking about as the church, and how we can overcome these things, being wounded by somebody in the church. Mm-hmm. How can we start working through these things?
Yes.
These are things that are not talked about in the church, gossip, slander. How can we start working through these things? And it's going to be a 30-minute program. I think we are going to start recording in January. The show is called Leslie Montgomery's Truth and Grace. It will probably debut in February. You can learn more about it on our website, which is www.authorlesliemontgomery.com.
Thank you, Leslie. We will have that put in the podcast post, and we will pray, listeners who are with us today or on the podcast listening, pray for Leslie's health, for protection over her, for God's provision, for healing in her life, and that she would continue to do the work that God's put in her life. The author of The Faith of Mike Pence, Leslie Montgomery, thank you so much for spending the hour with us today.
Thank you, David. God bless you and keep you. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you, and have a Merry Christmas, Leslie.
You as well. God bless.
All right, when we come back, a lot of exciting guests and topics. The rest of the week, we'll tell you about it.
Stand Up for the Truth, a ministry of Lakeshore Communications Incorporated. Keep the discussion going on social media. Stand Up WI on Facebook and Twitter. Now, we wrap up today's Stand Up for the Truth.
What a great interview. We will get that up soon, and you can share that, please, on social media. We have not figured out all the algorithms or whatever else goes on with Facebook and Twitter and the social media issues, but our page, Stand Up WI on Facebook, Stand Up for the Truth, we have been shadow banned for quite some time, meaning our Christian content and whatever we share typically doesn't reach people's news feeds. So that if you're seeing something, it's probably because someone else shared it. So please go to our page and share, especially the podcast, which is posted. Tomorrow, Pastor Mike Abendroth is back with us. Wednesday, Mary Danielson on the feminist movement and women in ministry. Don Vino of Midwest Christian Outreach on Thursday. And Josh Parise of Ephesians 5 Ministry dealing with sexual immorality issues on Friday. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you, and keep speaking the truth about things that matter.